The Sports Cage on Demand is brought to you by the Canadian Brewhouse. Get $4.99 Steins and all draft beer every Monday to Friday from 11 till 7, and $5.99 Caesars every weekend from 11 till 4.
Welcome back to the Sports Cage, everybody. Welcome to a brand new week of the show. I can guarantee you one thing. Actually, a couple. I don't really know what the next word out of my mouth is going to be today, but I know it will not be travel ban talk, Trump talk, or terrorism talk. So I think everybody's ready for a nice break from that. I think they're ready to talk some Rough Riders football. I got my boys here. Luke and Abu, how are you guys doing?
Topside of wonderful, as Scott Schultz would say.
Topside of wonderful.
That means really good in Arabic.
I was watching Plane Strange. Speaking of Schultz.
I was going to lean into the travel thing, but never mind.
I was watching Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Travel, but you're not allowed to talk about travel. or terrorism.
There wasn't a ban there. And I'm like, Del Griffith, Scott Schultz.
Yeah.
Have they ever been in the same room together?
I wish they would have. Be awesome.
It's such a great show.
Hello.
Hey. So we're going to talk Riders with these two jabronis for most of the show. But I tell you what, the fire's raging in Toronto right now with the Argos. And I know, Luke, you covered a lot of that with Duke because I came in here today and turned on the Cage phone.
Yeah.
Oh, the phone was full of comments from your listeners Friday raging about the Argos.
Yeah, a bunch of idiots over there.
So there's a guy by the name of Frank Stanici. He's a podcaster, Argos media guy. He's a season ticket holder, and he is just beside himself with the direction of that football team. He's going to be with us in hour three. And you guys remember the great Cliffy D. Pine.
Oh, yeah.
The blogger Cliffy D. Pine.
He's back.
From Montreal. Well, nobody brings him on the show when I'm gone. I'm the only guy that brings him on. So Cliffy's just dying to
talk. I'm still thinking this guy's a mascot. He's some sort of like animated mascot.
Was he the bird?
Like that?
Man. Cliffy D. Pine. He's the Ottawa Renegades mascot. He's
Cliffy
a lumberjack.
Cliffy D. Pine. He'll be on to talk about the Durant trade and going on further. And another thing, Jim Smalley in our newsroom tells me today, you guys know him, the Ayatollah of canola. He says that Cavis Reed is going to be in town next week to speak about leadership at some conference. Would you guys buy a ticket?
No. Absolutely.
Is he really?
Not.
I'm not buying the story.
Yeah, it's true.
I wouldn't. It's in terms of leadership, I wouldn't take Cavis fishing.
Hey, Monica Lewinsky's coming to speak at the U of R.
Where? What time?
I'm there. I am there right away. Sign me up. Box three
back
tickets, Cuba.
I got a whole box.
We got the whole front row. Yeah.
The whole back of stogies in the humidor right now.
You ready to go? I'm
ready. Anybody
and I'm sponsoring some seats for that.
Can speak, apparently. So, I'm just saying, Cavis and Monica Lewinsky are coming to Regina, not at the same time, but what a time to be alive!
Man, how about throwback Monday to the time that everybody thought Michael Copeland from the CFL offices was a good decision by the Toronto Argonauts as their president? Yeah, that's gone down south.
How about a
quickly.
Throwback what? To a time Why? When Michael Copeland was a well-respected league executive?
Why? Why is Toronto like this, man? Why?
Man, I don't
Why?
Know.
Why?
It
doesn't have to be.
No, not at all.
It doesn't have to be like this.
This is bad.
It can be good.
Are we diving right into the Argos? No, let's just wait because people have been dying, I think, for some Rider discussion. And here's the scary thing. I don't know if you guys read the column that I wrote last week from Metsico where I answered a lot of fans' questions. They weren't really raging down there, but yesterday I was in the Greek Orthodox Church here in town, and I was down in the basement, and I walked up to some of my, well, I call them family now, and they say the same thing. And one guy said, hey, hang on. This is a table full of angry Rider fans, so tread lightly. Mm. And I'm like, what are you guys angry about? Mm. I thought, and I've been a long ways away, but the sightings of Kevin Glenn and Daron Carter, Carter for sure, would be a banner day around here. Apparently it's not.
Yeah, I think that everybody's hung up on the media narrative with Daron Carter that he's a bad person. And we discussed this at
People
length.
People need to stop listening to the media.
Yeah,
we'll just review. Whoever didn't hear Football Friday, we talked about this. So one, people got to remember that the Montreal Alouette locker room when Daron Carter was there was filled with leaders, guys who have set that culture in Montreal. They own that locker room. Jeff Parrott, SJ Green, guys like, man, they got leaders all up and down that roster. Chip Cox, guys like that. guys like DeRon Carter don't fit into those locker rooms sometimes. Sometimes, right? Now, I'm not saying he's not a bad character, but what I am saying is that when you're in a Montreal dressing room like that with so many experienced vets that have won championship, it's literally their way or the highway. Okay, and if a new guy comes in there, he's young, he's brash. You know how you've made mistakes when you're young. Abu, I made 1,000. I'm still paying for some of them. And the problem is, you just don't fit sometimes.
I was listening to this on Friday, and I wish I was in here. I could not disagree with you more.
Yeah,
the locker room, they have all the names that you named: Chip Cox,
S.J. Green, Jeff Terry.
I'm trying to say the French guys, but I can't.
Yeah, yeah.
All these ones. That's what you need to win.
Exactly.
So if you don't fit into that group, you're not a football player.
Exactly.
That's what he's saying, isn't it?
That's exactly what I'm saying, though.
How many guys have you come and gone that have been, you know what? I wasn't a very good football player. When I first came out, they brought a guy that was better than me in every year to take my job up, but they couldn't do it because I was good enough, and they were really good, and then they really sucked at other times. They didn't fit in for one reason or another.
So, Durant, thank you. You just made my point. He didn't fit into the locker room there.
So you bring him over to want him in ours.
The void of leadership, the fact that there's a lot of leaders not in that locker room, and the leaders that are in that locker room, they're dealing with health concerns and things like that.
All right,
there's not as many of them, and there is, I'll tell you who are there are. There are a ton of young guys, DeRon Carter's age, that are all good athletes, and all may just, these guys are forming
the
future.
So you put an alpha dog into a wolf pack, into a dog pack, and you're going to think that that alpha dog's a bad dog. But if you take that alpha dog and put him in with his own pack, that pack's going to ride, you're saying?
I'm not sure Carter's an alpha dog.
I'm saying I think he has a lot more chances of succeeding in the locker room there where there is one leader that's apparent. There's one leader, good or bad. It's Chris Jones, whether you like it or not.
I was going to say right? Rob Bagg.
Nope,
but
it's one leader.
Well, that's
Chris Jones.
I think he's got a
chance.
Jones' style of leadership will fit in better with him.
Thank you.
Because, you know, every athlete speaks to a different kind of coaching mentality. I loved Mike Gibson. I loved him.
Yeah.
But I might be the only one.
Yeah, you were. I can tell you that right now. I liked Mike Gibson. We worked hard when Mike Gibson.
Yeah, I loved him. There was nothing liking about me and Gibby.
Yeah, there was never the defensive line worked the hardest when Gibby was there, and that's the defensive line. So that's why I think that he has a better chance of succeeding here than he did in Montreal. And people forget. You know, and I was talking to a couple guys about this, a couple guys close to the team. People really forget, especially the media, that Montreal was about 120K over the salary cap this year or last year, and they needed to cut salary.
Are they
still
paying AC?
So it was, yeah, probably.
Well, I'm just saying, that's probably why.
They're probably still paying Jamal Richardson. Oh, yeah. But you know what I mean? They were over the cap. And people are forgetting that. And it's a lot easier to blame character and play into one narrative than to actually say, hey, well, you know what, also,
and I'll agree
we were considerably over the cap and we needed to cut some salary.
Wasn't a lot of that coming
out of Montreal.
Hang on.
You can put a different light on different wording of different players.
This is great. This is great. This is what I wanted. We've got fire. We've got heat. It's very caliente in the sports cage today. One of the new words that I learned down in Mexico. But you got me thinking about something. So I was with all the Greeks yesterday. Hmm. I hear this a lot, not just from the Greeks. People say, Jones wants to cut everybody's salary. Why doesn't he take a pay cut? He's making all this money. He's making $600,000 a year or whatever it is. And I try to say to them, it's two separate bank accounts.
Yeah,
has anyone ran a business before? Like, that's what you want to do. You want to maximize production and minimize wages.
But the difference...
They don't go together all the time.
The coach's salary is exempt from the salary cap.
Yes.
And Chris Jones isn't making any more than Tamman and Chamberlain were combined. He's doing both jobs. It's not, in my mind, like he's overpaid.
It's a different conversation. Completely different.
And he's not taking...
Should coaches and GMs' salaries be considered in a salary cap? That's a different conversation.
Probably, but they're not.
Yeah, I mean, if my aunt was my uncle,
that's why we have all those. That's why we have all the debates about coaching staff size in the CFL. It just seems as though anybody can hire like six of his friends and come.
I know, and that's what I mean. That's that conversation. Not he makes too much money.
Yeah.
Now did DeRon Carter? I don't know if did he get a signing bonus up front? Because you know how I like to swing the numbers, right?
Bro, I believe he did.
What if they gave him $100,000? The Riders gave him $100,000 up front and minimum wage. Now you swing the trade for that guy that everyone wants that wears number 4 in Edmonton.
But bonuses still go to the cap, too, do they not?
But now the $100,000 will stay in Saskatchewan, and Edmonton will basically get a free DeRon Carter.
So you're talking about making the... Oh, because the money's already spent.
Because the money's already spent. So basically... I don't know, because there was, I mean, on Friday there was a lot of, well, we're going to trade him to Edmonton talk, and I'm thinking that would be genius if that's was if that's what the talk was, and that was. I'm not saying I'm just trying to. I don't think so either. I'm just
crazy,
but that'd be a great idea if you wanted to get him, and the only way to get him, Franklin, I'm talking about. The only way to get Franklin was to get Daron Carter here and pay his salary for the year.
I'm excited about Daron Carter wearing green and white. I hope he doesn't end up getting flipped to Edmonton. Now, it's, if it's to get James Franklin, sure.
I'm just creating noise, right? Yeah. But I'm saying that's a great way to play with the numbers.
The best player in the CFL, which I think we'd all agree he has the ability to be at his best, because I know you chuckled when Gary Clulis called him that, the best player in the league. Remember
he's not
when
the best
did?
Player in the league. He's one of the better CFL, I mean receivers, though.
Okay, well, now he's got to take who?
Best player in the league.
Where do you put him in the roster?
If you're putting your... Yes.
I'd say you're putting guys
across the offense, you know, X, Y, Z, the other receiver. Where does he fit in? Who fits in where? Who does he... Bag's going to play, you know. Roosevelt's going to play a lot of places.
So if you look at...
Is he that much better than who we already have? Yes.
So if you look at what they did in Montreal with him, he played everywhere. He played wide. He played slot. They gave him the ball on quick screens to get him out in space. I think you can be flexible with a guy like Daron Carter. I don't think he fits. You're an H-back. I think that you take him and you put him in different spots depending on how you see the situation that you're in. Because there's on film, he's literally played everywhere.
I just realized everything I've been saying about Daron Carter makes you think that I don't like it. I think this.
You're just saying trade him.
I think it speaks to Jones's genius, because there's got to be something to add the best receiver in the league when you have the best, arguably the best receivers already in the league, to make us a point of strength.
Did you say the Riders have them now?
I hear that a lot.
Hawley.
I hear that a lot too.
That they have the best receivers.
So, anyways, that's why I'm just saying.
Ricky Collins Jr.
When they let go of Durant, I was like, you know what? There's more to this. And we were sitting here, just you and I. I said, Kevin Glenn, Lule, somebody's coming. I think there's more to this. I think there's more with the receivers position. Maybe a trade. Maybe it's not Franklin. Maybe it's another offensive lineman or someone. But I think there's more to come.
Yeah.
I think there's more to come.
We did talk about that a fair amount on Friday. Like there's no way any of this is final
right now.
I think that this roster looks drastically different, especially as we go through the free agency period. But, man, it might change up until the free agency period.
We'll take our first time out. It's a Rider Monday. Good to be back on the air. We're brought to you by Midtown Auto Sales. They can be found at the corner of 8th Avenue and Winnipeg Street. Good deals from the good guys. 20 years of doing it right. The Sports Cage continues after this on 620 CKRM. Our Rider Monday continues. Time for a peek at the Boston Pizza Afternoon Rush. Here's what's going on in the real world. Philadelphia right winger Wayne Simmonds has been named the NHL's first star of the week. The Flyers forward was named the MVP of Sunday's NHL All-Star Game and had 2 goals in 2 league games earlier in the week. San Jose left winger Patrick Marleau of Aneroid, Saskatchewan, and Toronto goalie Frederick Anderson are the second and third stars, respectively. And the Toronto Blue Jays have signed right-hander Lucas Harrell to a minor league deal with an invitation to big league spring training. Harrell made 9 starts last season for the Atlanta Braves and Texas Rangers. He posted a 3-2 record. That's the Boston Pizza Afternoon Rush. This Valentine's Day, heart-shaped pizzas are back, and $1 from each pizza sold goes to the Boston Pizza Foundation Future Prospects. So I just want to dive right back into this because it was Luke who said it in the break. I didn't know that it was as big a news as you have clued me in that it is. The Alouettes released veteran offensive tackle Jeff Parrott today. He went on Facebook, wrote a long soliloquy and goodbye to Montreal and Alouettes fans. Yeah. His career's not over, though, is it?
I don't think so, but I would thought Parrott was going to play there forever. I did.
I think you played with him.
Yeah, I think he's been an exceptional talent the whole time he's been in Montreal, and it goes to the discussion. I mean, you just sign a quarterback that you quite possibly overpaid for, just determining in terms of how his contract's laid out, and I hope they did overpay because that's good for our boy Doubles. But you just paid a quarterback that you want to lead the franchise. You have a left tackle that's a rookie in Jacob Ruby, and you just cut the perennial right tackle that's been there forever.
Well, that's the thing. How long has he been there forever?
being there. Yeah, true. Age might, but there better be a good game plan coming in there at that right tackle.
Wait
spot
a minute, we're not talking about the Riders QB situation. We're talking about the. Wait a minute, what are we talking about here?
Yeah, it looks dangerously similar already.
Already,
there's pieces taking away from the offensive line, but in Montreal,
they got away, and you don't mean they got a bunch of guys. They always have some guys. In the backgrounds of Montreal playing offensive
they
line. They got a factory there.
Historically, they
draft guys in the fifth round, and then 3 years later, you're like, oh, yeah, wait a minute. He's an all-star.
Yeah, guys like Christian Matt is a perfect example of that. He's been their starting left guard for at least the last two seasons, and he was there for 4 years before he even got considered to hit the field. There's been guys, I mean, they got Brodeur Jourdain out of the
Paul
seventh
Lambert
round.
Rolled,
he was like
rolled his butt out onto the field.
Man, I'm telling you, Montreal has been historically great at producing offensive line when Jim Pop was there.
And these are still his guys. They're still there. They're still part of
those are still his guys, true. But you know how things change when different systems and different theories and things like that come into play, right? And you don't – I mean, who knows what Kavis Reed views – putting together a team.
You played
like that
against the Owls offensive line in their glory days, early 2000s into the late 2000s. Yeah. They were the Berlin Wall. I couldn't believe just watching from the broadcast booth. You couldn't get near AC, and they found a way to pay him $500,000 going back to the 90s and still put money into the offensive line.
Luke practiced against the line that was arguably better than that line. But anyways, just saying.
Statistics will tell you differently. And you were only here 2 years.
I'm not talking about me. For
a decade.
Yeah, they were.
I'm just telling you.
Brian Chu, Ozuma Okeke.
Yeah, don't
Scott Flory.
Don't discount what Makowski, O'Day, Green.
I'm just saying
Big
for a
Chill.
Decade. Were we that good for a decade?
Man, yeah.
How long was Big Chill here? I forgot.
Too long.
2 years. Too long.
I want to say one at the most, but.
Look,
the number. Lazio. How do you judge an offensive line?
By
success. No, honestly.
With Anthony Calvillo. So, I mean, I interrupted you. I'm sorry. With Anthony Calvillo, I mean.
But the point is you can still pay a quarterback and put those resources also into the offensive line. Mind you, there was no salary cap back then either.
I'm just interested to see what they have planned there on that offensive line, especially when you take a guy like Parrott out of the equation. Granted, yes, money reasons, concerns of his age. I get all that. But just when you have a new franchise quarterback who you know is the franchise quarterback –
and maybe they're going after Bork. Maybe they bring would they bring him back again?
I think they cut him for money purposes.
Yeah, you're right. I know. That's why I was just bringing him.
Well, you know, you could always bring back a guy if he's if the price is right.
Well, we've seen it lots. Yeah. But
and there's a few, and we talked about it with Duke last week. There are a few free agents out there that do look tempting from the offensive line.
It's starting to grow.
Yeah,
the group more and more and more. It got better even today with Jeff Parrott being released. Mm-hmm. But anyways, my yardsticks for offensive line success or rushing yards, sacks allowed, and of course wins. And the Alouettes were on top in all those categories for a decade. That's all.
And they were very good schematically. And when Tress came, I think Tress extended some guys' careers there by putting and really gave shots to other guys like Ryan Bombin. I mean, making. Essentially, there was a time where the Montreal Alouettes consisted of six offensive linemen.
Well, that's because part of the factory,
and a fullback.
Right?
Yeah.
He was just the next guy up. Yeah. And I don't think stats on offense. I mean, sacks allowed is more on the quarterback, quick release. Look at Kevin Glenn. I mean, he gets rid of the ball like a second. He's always up there at one or two. Hmm. Danny McManus, seven sacks allowed in a year. You're thinking that was the greatest offensive line of all time? Rushing yards, it speaks to how...
You base it more on rushing yards then?
This like offensive line, I'm basing my on the eyeball test. What are you doing in the games?
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough.
That's totally fair.
Yeah.
Absolutely fair. So
because you can get your quarterback killed 800 times in a row and not give up one sack.
That's true. Get hit like 27 times.
Yeah.
So the Prairie Mobile text line is open. I didn't even tell people it was, but. Now the messages are coming in. They already knew it. 551-CKRM, 551-2576. Jeff in Regina says, I'm sure Chris Jones talked with Kevin Glenn about Daron Carter and his so-called attitude. Guess what? Carter only helps Glenn. And I think that's true. Kelly in Calgary says, if Edmonton really wanted Daron Carter, they could have signed him as a free agent. I'm happy to have him as long as he doesn't act like an idiot. And Ryan from the 450 says, I think by trading Carter to Edmonton would be dirty business.
Just remember,
people will think twice about signing here in the future.
No, it won't. It'd be the business. The business is dirty as you want it to be, and as clean as you want it to be at all times, because it's the business, and that's the business of football. Just, I'd like to also reiterate another point while we're talking about De'Ron Carter's character. There's a lot of guys, and I've shared locker rooms with them, that look like absolute angels in the media, and are dirt, and are just not good people at all. They're terrible characters. And
but they can smile.
Yep, they can smile and they can play to your narrative.
That's what
so
makes
it just remember
even
that,
worse.
Folks. It's easy to bag on someone's character when everybody's doing it. But what's hard is actually figuring out who the terrible characters are despite looking really, really... I've played with some of them. And you look at these guys and you see them do their interviews and you're like, wow, these guys are just terrible people.
Don't believe the hype.
Yeah, so, yeah, thank you. So there is another side to the story, folks.
I feel like we're just getting into things. We've got our bottom hour news break. We'll be back shortly. Again, Argos podcaster Frank Stanici coming up later on in the show, and Alouettes blogger Cliffy D. Pine.
My favorite. Love
it's him. A Rider Monday for Midtown Auto Sales on 620 CKRM. Hey! Rider Monday continues. Luke and Abu are with me. We're brought to you by Midtown Auto Sales. We're talking CFFL today. Alouettes News, they've released veteran tackle Jeff Parrott. The Edmonton Eskimos, if anybody's paying attention or cares, where is it? Have extended defensive back Brandon Thompson. We're kind of scratching the bottom of the barrel for CFL news, but free agent defensive back Brandon Thompson has signed a contract extension with the Edmonton Eskimos. We can continue on all what we were talking about, but I do want to say something. Lynch was emailing me every day while I was gone in Mexico with what he was hearing in the coffee shops in town. Like, John, I'm on vacation. I know. So what?
I know, but this is what I heard.
Well, the one thing that people are concerned about, and it's a legitimate concern, was all the guys that were signed in free agency last year. I would think, certainly in mid-February, we thought the Riders won free agency, didn't we? Well, maybe the Bombers. But yeah. The Riders had a big day,
too. They're coming out of the... They started really behind everybody.
But Kendall Lawrence, do I need to go through? Justin Capricotti, Curtis good. Steele's now gone. All those guys.
Sean Lemon, were in-house.
So do you think that... Well, John Childs, Jeremy Kelly. Jeremy Kelly never even was able to show up to camp.
Didn't make it through day two of the Florida camp.
Paul DePinn retired. Mm. Well, that was a thing of 2016, wasn't it? Players retiring. Do you think Chris Jones made mistakes in those signings? I think, Terry Jones, you guys know Terry Jones, the Hall of Fame Edmonton Sun writer, said Chris Jones made mistakes in his first year as a head coach. He learned from them, went on to win a Grey Cup in his second year as a head coach. Do you think Chris Jones made mistakes in year one?
I think
that he will learn from and not do again.
I think we may look at them as mistakes, but I don't think they were mistakes. I think year one was, let's take as much stuff and throw it against the wall and see what sticks. So... Was it a bad... I mean, in hindsight, it's easy to say, yeah, that was a bad one, that was a bad one, why did they bring this guy in? But you got to go through that. I think that was the plan. The plan was to go through the bodies and see what kind of, amongst other things, personalities kind of came together.
Well, there are many that feel the Riders are no further ahead 1 year into this regime than they were the year before.
I don't think those people realized how far behind the Riders really were.
Yeah, this team was really struggling in terms of... It was aging, and you don't want to use that as a reason why a lot of guys were expedited. But
it's easier to fill a blank roster, than what the Riders had. You know,
wasn't a ton of talent. Not to say there's a ton of talent here now. We know what there is. There's a ton of athletic ability and there's some good football players, right? But to be talented, you got to play together. You got to put it all on the field as one team. So
yeah, well, with Jeff Knox gone and now Otha Foster gone,
yeah.
And a lot of these free agents that were signed a year ago, gone. Yeah, Gainey's back. Gainey, Justin Cox.
Ed Gainey becomes a huge.
Now we still need another DB, though.
Justin Cox. Yep. You got guys like Webster, we have Hecht still?
They cut Webster.
Yeah, oh, yeah, sorry, not Webster.
Well, Hecht, I believe, will be a free agent.
But you know what? Now, there's holes. I think what Luke's saying is that there's holes that can be filled, whereas last year there wasn't even a hole. There wasn't even...
There's a crater.
There was nothing.
Yeah, it was just
and
a bunch
filling
of...
In, yeah, plugging players into nothing is nothing. But mm-hmm. plugging players into holes, well, now... Just what Luke said. You need someone. Gainey's going to play Otha Foster's position. Now you need someone to plug Gainey's dime or whatever position you want to call it, right? Like, you're filling holes, which is a lot better than having nothing.
How many holes are there? I mean, you talk about how much further this team needs to go in terms of putting a roster together for this season, even a camp roster, for goodness sake. Brennan Labatt's status, I think, is in doubt. Chris Best's status is in doubt. Yeah. So there's going to be a lot more holes that we're going to find out between Absolutely. Now and the start of training camp.
We're going to find out a lot in 3 weeks.
Yeah, well, You'll fair enough.
You might find out something next this week, right? That's how busy this team probably is. This is a team that still needs to address things. And I mean,
well, this is what I think Chris Jones learned, and that is to not give up front money to certain people. I guess you're not supposed to talk to a player before you trade for him, but I would bend the rules in that regard anyway. How many guys did they acquire, give them money, and then retire? Bruce Campbell never reported. Matt Sewell never reported. Maurice Price was the big one.
Mo Price.
I mean, they blew a lot of money on guys that never showed up. I don't think he would do that again, and he's actually admitted to that. And then ratio gate, roster gate, I don't expect that to happen again.
In terms of having a number of players in and out of the organization and things like that?
Well, that's a whole other thing. 100 How many players suited up? A CFL record number of players? They're not going to do that again, are they?
No, I think that...
No, that was part of the plan.
I think that when people look at the team and they say, oh, well, we're no farther ahead than we were last year. The coaching or the administrative staff, Chris Jones, they're a lot farther ahead. Regardless of what you think is on the football field right now and is on the roster, Coach Jones and his crew are a lot farther ahead. You can tell by the moves they're making. Now they seem more strategic, right? Number four, that was going to be a battle, but everything sort of seems a little bit more strategic now. We saw the potential free agents out there. A lot of those guys could be signed before February. Right. If this was last year, you look at some of those guys and you'd think, yeah, we probably would have thrown a lot of money at those guys before they got to free agency. Right. I think they're a lot farther ahead. And as Abu just said, their plan is their plan. And I think they're probably, if you asked them to be honest, they're probably a lot more comfortable with where they are than a lot of people.
I have not discussed with you guys yet the signing of Kevin Glenn. You probably did last week. I think it was it Tuesday, Abu? Were you in? The day they signed Kevin Glenn. Here's the question in a phone conversation I had with Lynch yesterday, for which we did not have an answer. He thinks Kevin Glenn starts week one. I do not.
If Kevin Glenn starts week one, you have a guy that you know what you're going to get out of him. But I don't think Kevin Glenn starting in week one is where this coaching staff has
I can't
their
see
eyes
it.
Set. No.
What do you think, Abu?
What do you see?
I think they start one of the young guys, whether it's Jake Waters or G.J. Kinney, with the benefit of a mini camp, a full training camp. They're going to go with one of those guys because I think Brandon Bridge. And I think they're still in their mind building.
I hope they don't
feel like they're ready to win now, unfortunately.
I hope they give whatever young arm looks great in camps, training camp and otherwise.
Whether that's Kevin Glenn or whomever.
No, I'd like to see Kevin Glenn start for the first six games regardless. Mm-hmm. Have the young guys sit, watch, learn, practice, get used to the field, itch, burn, want to play, and learn the game. You can't learn the game in 1 year sitting or 6 months or whatever it is. You need time to learn the Canadian game, especially a quarterback.
You're the first guy that I've heard say he'd like to see Kevin Glenn play the opening third. And I'm not saying you're wrong.
And sure.
But I haven't heard that from anybody.
Yeah. Kevin Glenn, hey, he's right.
If he is the starting, like I said, I don't think he's, if he is the starting quarterback, I don't think the coaches and the staff got exactly what they wanted to out of the offseason. But, I mean, he's you know what you're going to get. I mean, he's still a vet. He's a guy that's going to get rid of the ball quickly. He's not going to hold on to it.
What are you hoping for? That at some point Kevin Glenn goes down, somebody's going to come in to be the next Jeff Garcia?
I'll tell you exactly. What I'm hoping for is that they don't do what they did to the Latino and that other guy that we can't remember his name that just signed somewhere else.
Brett Smith.
Great, looked great in film, had a lot of talent, put him into games that actually crushed every possibility of them having success because they didn't know whether to poop or go blind. They didn't know what was going on because they were putting the game way too early. I'd like for them to 2008, my last season, the starter got hurt. Wasn't Kevin Glenn. It was MC, Marcus Crandall. Then Darian should have just slid in. That's what I'd like to see. All right, so Kevin Glenn gets hurt. If something happens to Kevin Glenn, whether he gets hurt or not, just that's the organic transition between the elder statesman to the younger guys. You know, Kevin Glenn plays 5-6 games, and the younger guy just comes and whenever
and
he's ready, just takes over.
That
and
he
hope.
Is the next Darian Durant.
Or you take a round peg and you shove him through the round hole, and you make sure that he wins a game. But as soon as anyone gets any tapes on him, they absolutely crushed a young player.
Well,
no, if we want a good quarterback, we got to be patient. We can't just throw him in there because
the
we're opening
thing,
a stadium.
From because this has been debated 100 and different angles, but the Durant contract negotiations were all about money. Like, I've had people after he was traded to Montreal, they're saying, see, it was about money.
No.
Or it wasn't. I think it was. Because Kevin Glenn's here at what? $150,000?
Man, we've sat here every week, and I kept telling you, no, it's not about the money. Jones doesn't want Darian here. He didn't want him here, period. He didn't want him. How much did you pay for something you don't want?
No, I don't agree. Kevin Glenn is a step up from Darian Durant, 3 years old.
No, but he is. That's not what I'm saying. He is. Kevin Glenn comes at the right price, though.
Right.
So
right.
It's money.
Kevin Glenn is money. Doubles
well,
wasn't
would you
think.
Buy a pair of, $3,000 alligator.
I really don't
shoes?
Think. I,
no, but you buy them for $50, right?
I'm with Abu. I don't think that doubles was part of the plan here, and I think that that's where all the bad feelings on either side came from. Is the fact that if I think it would have just been easier to rip off the Band-Aid and just been like Darian's not the guy we want. It hurts. Everybody will hate it, but hey, that's what it seemed like.
Well,
it seemed like
they
just
basically
ripped
said
off the
that.
Bent.
He basically said that.
Yeah, but
not.
They took forever to say it. Like, you know, you're coming on and you're giving and there's huge long explanations as to the process and stuff like that. Hey, just come on and be like, because even Doubles himself said he knew he wasn't the guy, right? When we had him on air. So, I mean, it is what it is. I think that was about doubles, and I think Kevin Glenn was about money.
I think
because Kevin Glenn comes at a very cheap price.
I think they didn't want Darian because of his salary, not because of his ability. Feel free to agree or disagree. Because you can't tell me Kevin Glenn's a step up from Darian Durant.
He's not.
Only
we're not. Telling,
he's
not,
he'd
not
be a luxury. He'd be a luxury. So like those alligator loafers that I just said, you'd like them if they were $20, right? But you're not paying $2,000.
Yeah.
You're not in your head, everyone. Yes, you would.
No.
So Darian's the alligator loafers. You don't want them for $2,000, but at $20, yeah, you take them.
Well, it was like at that news conference. I'm not sure which one it was of Chris Jones, but a reporter said, "Do you want Darian Durant?" And Jones was standing 5 feet from me. He just looked at the reporter and said, "Yes."
Do you want those loafers? Here are the loafers. Do you want them? Yeah, sure.
So then why not say...
Because we're in Saskatchewan and you can't say stuff like that. People are being chastised in the media these days for actually saying what's really going on. People don't want to be told the truth. They don't want the Band-Aid ripped off. They want to be massaged and talked to nicely.
It's a Rider Monday for Midtown Auto Sales. I want to tell you something about Midtown Auto Sales. They're at the corner of 8th Avenue and Winnipeg Street. That's... Good deals from the good guys. Give them a call. 347-2277. 20 years of doing it right. We'll be right back on Rider Radio 620 CKRM. RMP Sports Cage Sports Ticker. The NHL resumes play tonight following the All-Star break. Tomorrow night. In the meantime, the Canadian Hockey League will hold its top prospects game in Quebec City tonight. The game is expected to go ahead despite Sunday shooting at a mosque in the city. The Pats' Jake Lecicin is playing in the prospects game tonight on Sportsnet. The Pats were winners today, 2-1 in Saskatoon. Tyler Brown, 21 saves in the Pats' fifth straight win. They host those pesky Warriors Wednesday night at 7. And the week-long circus that is Super Bowl week begins tonight as both the New England Patriots and the Atlanta Falcons meet with reporters in Houston. The teams will face media scrutiny every day this week leading up to Sunday's NFL championship game in Houston's NRG Stadium. Hang on, that's the RNP Sports Game Sports Ticker, Regina Motor Products, home of no car crap BS. That's it. Okay.
I better not see a bunch of Falcons hats walking around Regina, okay? Let's just square that up.
I know.
How many Falcon fans did you know before last week?
I knew zero Falcon fans.
I knew one in my entire life. In Calgary.
Actually, TJ Duckett, he played for the Falcons.
Okay.
But that's it. So I don't want to see a bunch of Falcons hoodies and hats running around here, all right, folks?
We were out last week and we saw a whole bunch at the Greek Freaks place.
They were loud and they were drunk and they were unruly.
Falcons fans?
Yeah.
Come on. Come on.
They were.
They've begun. Those
taking
are the first
over from
two.
Steelers
I'm going to ask them, name six Falcons that were not on this year's roster. Yeah.
Well, the one that I know is
or
Stu
Vic.
McKay.
Can't be Michael Vick.
You guys know Hugh McKay.
Yep.
The Taylor Field Stadium operations manager. His brother Stu, longtime Falcons fan, so people check on Stu this week. But I want to tell you an interesting story. At our resort in Mexico, we watched the conference championship games last Sunday. And there were tons of Packers fans there. And they were from Wisconsin. They were legit. Tell me what you think about this. They're getting spanked, right? They're getting routed.
Good.
And they had this corner little VIP area with couches and a big screen TV. And I'm just like, got my eye on it. Because I'm sitting across the bar with my lovely wife waiting to jump on this. Because I had some guys coming to meet me.
Couldn't wait to say something.
Yeah. And well, no, I wasn't going to say anything. But they wouldn't leave. 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 It's down to 4 minutes to go, and in the NFL, as you know, it's over with 4 minutes to go in a route. They wouldn't leave.
So wait a minute, they're on holiday and they're just sitting relaxing.
All that's why
they won't stop relaxing.
Holiday. All in Packers gear. No. I'm just saying your team's getting its ass kicked.
Yeah.
There's the door.
I see what you mean. Well, where are they going?
Yeah, but you're like me. You never hear the last horn of any game. You want to be gone and on the road.
Like, what are you people doing?
Yeah, it's
but hey, so yeah. There ended up being two spots, so I sidled in beside these guys and got talking to them. And what? I'm waiting to pop the
poking
question.
Poking them.
When are you going to leave, guys?
Yeah.
And they said, no, we're staying to the end. Okay. So they stayed to the final gun.
The true fan.
That was about 20 minutes ago.
And by the way, they were in their 50s and 60s. They stood and they applauded.
Hey,
at
they're
the
proud
end
of
the
their
game,
guys.
They said, great season, way to go, Packers. We'll be back next year. And then they all filed out in single file. They were like an army.
They're proud of them. They're proud of the team. I love that.
Do you expect that out of Ryder
fans? You don't think there's Ryder fans doing that? Yeah.
I don't expect it, but I'm sure
it happened. Yeah, you were just at the
wrong
bar.
They weren't applauding this year, but they've been through those years. There was plenty of people applauding. Actually, I know it for a fact because in 2010 when we lost the Grey Cup, there was a ton of people applauding as we walked off.
I know there's people in Mexico listening to us right now.
They are.
Yeah, and I'm sure that. I know. And they were shaking up. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Fair.
I'm like that with the Cowboys every year. Literally every year is our year next year.
Yeah.
And for this reason.
In the NFC divisional game this year, you left at halftime.
No, I didn't.
Right, he leaves when the game's over.
But the game was not over at halftime.
I had to go
because I think the game was on where I ended up, though.
Yeah. I'm teasing you.
That's funny.
But I'm just, look.
I was so sick of it.
I haven't missed a Ryder game. I haven't missed a game since 1999. I don't think there's anybody else that's been in attendance at every Ryder game and witnessed every snap for 18 years besides me. Not even Joe.
Well, they all stayed for the farewell game.
Gordon Gilroy. How about that?
I don't really recall. Gordy wasn't. There's nobody but me. And I don't recall fans standing at the end of a game, home or road, habitually. They have done it. And of course, I only saw these Packers fans do it one time. But I was struck that it would just seemed a little odd.
I respected it. Those are fans that have been there through the glory days, through the days before Brett Favre, right? The Lambeau era, right?
What'd you do after every game, after every season? You went around, you shook everyone's hand that you played good game, good season.
Yeah.
What do you do after a round of golf? You shake hands, good.
Well, you just think glad it's over. That's why in golf.
I just had not seen it, and maybe I just wanted them to leave.
No. They were cool. They're true fans, right? Yeah. They're true fans. They knew that they lucked out. The Dallas Cowboys would have been a far better match for the Atlanta Falcons than they were.
And by the way, that's the beautiful thing about traveling. Just a little snapshot. You guys travel a ton. You don't go necessarily to the same places as I do.
No.
But the Patriots fans, because the night game was the Steelers at the Patriots, they were drunk. They were obnoxious.
Yeah.
They were loud. And everybody found it somewhat amusing. I mean, by the end of the game, they didn't even know who won.
Yeah.
That's your New England Patriots fans. And the Steelers fans, to be honest, weren't a lot different than the Packers fans. You're talking about 6 Super Bowl championships there, the marquee franchise. They were a little more respectful than the Patriots fans. Hey, in the time we have left, do you want to hear a couple of two Mexico stories?
Sure.
You might want to check in on Carm this week.
Oh, I saw him outside of Gold getting the water going.
On his feet?
He was jacking the sewer trying to get it unfrozen.
Did he tell you about his accident?
He was working.
Oh, no, man. I didn't hear about his accident.
Oh, maybe I didn't. If there's any insurance involved, he wasn't working at all. He wasn't.
He's going to go nuts for me telling this story, and I don't care. I didn't golf down there because I don't golf. Mm-hmm. But they had a tournament on the Wednesday, and I never saw him again.
Whose tournament?
The Harvard Broadcasting. Oh, okay. They had a tournament. There was like 30 people in it. And then all of a sudden, Carm drops off the map for 3 days.
Yeah.
And
just like Carm, I mean, that sounds it is
like Carm, yes. But I found out that he suffered an injury on the golf course.
Oh.
He went into the trees to go after a ball, and it wasn't even his ball.
Hang on, is this a real story or just one that he told you?
It
wasn't in Mexico. I was
witnesses said he went in to get a ball, one of his playing partner's balls, well, not even his own. Multimillionaire going in to find a 75-cent golf ball.
That's why.
And he comes out, well, initially the story I heard, he was bitten by something.
Mm.
And his foot, within 6 hours, swelled up to the size of a football.
Jeez.
He couldn't leave his room. He was in horrible shape. There were 3 blisters on his foot the size of baseballs.
Mm.
And he didn't want to leave his room. Couldn't walk. And then in the airport, he shows up to come home, and his feet just covered in Band-Aids.
Jeez.
Like he didn't want to call a doctor, and I don't blame him for that.
Yeah, what are you going to do?
But apparently he took a steak knife and popped all those blisters just in order to drain his foot and get his sandal on and come home. And covered them all with Band-Aid. Look at Luke's face. It's like he just drank a gallon of sour milk.
Because that's what you'd do. That's what I would do. I'm like, I'm not going.
Yeah.
I spent 3 weeks in the hospital.
Did you take the 6 seconds it takes to get medical insurance out there?
But the thing is, 2 years ago, the exact same thing happened. So it's like, Carm, wear shoes. That's what he was golfing in sandals.
Yeah. Wow. He always does. That's Carm. Well,
and a couple years ago, we were on the other side, Puerto Vallarta, and he's out golfing, sprays a shot into the trees, goes to find it, and happens to see a funeral going on of a Mexican mob family.
That's awesome.
And as he's retrieving his ball, a car, an SUV rolls by, pop, 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 shot 5 of them. Right in front of Carm's eyes.
Are you serious?
He goes back the next day, plays the same course.
Hey, he loves golf. But
lightning
he
loves that's golf. Smart, man. Lightning doesn't strike twice
apparently,
in the same spot.
Apparently, we got a break, so we'll do that.
Jeez.
Coming up next hour, I'm going to tell you a little bit about what's going to go on down in Arizona next week.
Oh, yeah.
At the Ryderville Arizona Tour 3. It's just going to be fantastic. We've got the NBA involved. We've got a couple of area sports bars involved. I'm excited. And we've got reporters from the Argos and the Owls coming up, too. It's a Rider Monday for Midtown Auto Sales on 620 CKRM. Good afternoon, Saskatchewan. Welcome to Hour 2 of your favorite Saskatchewan talk show, The Sports Cage. It's a Rider Monday brought to you by Midtown Auto Sales. Abu has adjourned us. He's gone home to make tacos.
How jealous are we? I'm so jealous right now.
My mouth's salivating.
Oh, my God, tacos.
He's not buying them. He's making them.
Great kids, too.
Enjoy, kids. Luke and I holding down the fort for the next while. Coming up later on in the show, we've got Toronto Argonauts podcaster Frank Stanici. And I'm going to tell you, he's quite a character. He's been on this program before, and he is fired up. He's livid.
Oh, he should be.
Over the direction of the Toronto Argonauts.
Anybody. Anybody that's associated with that Argonaut organization, fans, executives, whatever, players, they should be just so worried. Like we said at the beginning of the show, it was just a year ago where we thought Michael Copeland was a great answer to the Toronto franchise. And the Toronto franchise has gone down to, oh, man, it's bad. How you don't have a GM approaching on
free agency?
You're doing GM interviews. What day is it today?
January 30th.
You're doing GM interviews 2 weeks outside of actual free agency. You got guys that are on the that need to be re-signed now, that are going into free agency that should already be signed. And these dummies are looking for a GM.
And then he'll be looking for a coach, too.
Yeah, and staff. And then they have – so their former head coach.
Milanovic.
He's out in Jacksonville. You got a bunch of coaches. You can't. If I'm a player that wants to know where I stand in the Toronto organization, I got no one to talk to right now. If I'm under contract for the next 2 years.
You can talk to Michael Copeland.
Yeah. I can't – hey, coach, I just want to know, like, what's the plans going into things? Oh, man, I don't think I have a job next year. That's the exact response you're going to get. And then you're done. You're in a gray area until all this is going to be – it's crazy. I'd hate to be in Toronto right now. As a matter of fact, that's nothing new from the last 3-4 years. I'd hate to be in Toronto, period, for the last couple of years, unless my name's Pinball.
Or Ricky Foley.
Oh, yeah. Or Ricky Foley. You're not Jerry. But Ricky Foley, for sure. Yeah.
Here's the thing about that, and I didn't expect to go down this Argos road here, but I don't mind because I haven't had a chance to discuss it on the air yet.
Yeah.
Frank Stanici's here texting me right now. He's already saying I apologize in advance for my negative rant. So
it's
I can't
right.
wait.
Let's get him on right
can't
now.
Can't wait to hear Frank. But here's the thing, man. I'm starting to learn some things, not just about the CFL, but sport in general. You and I view the way things should be done pretty similarly, and I think Abu does too. Maybe they're doing things differently in Toronto. As a matter of fact, they are. I wrote about it in my Monday column today. A hockey guy once told me, his name's Carter Sears, Luke. He said, What other teams do is their business. Stay out of it. Don't comment on it. Shut up. Go laugh around the corner if you have to.
Yeah.
But other teams' business is their business. So that's fine. But what they're doing is very unorthodox. That's why in the National Football League, Black Monday is what?
Black Monday.
It's the day after the season ends.
Right after the season ends.
Bloodshed.
Everybody's
on just about every team that's missed the playoffs.
Everybody's a target.
Yeah. And they wait. Their season's been over since November the 5th.
What's that guy talking about?
2.5 months they wait to make an inevitable decision because those guys thought they were going to be gone anyways. Now, Jim Barker was allowed, I guess, to restructure Drew Willey's deal. He had to have known he was a dead man walking at the time.
Yeah.
Barker and Milanovic were telling people Grey Cup week that they thought they were going to be fired. So do it.
I know.
Do it.
Man.
But why? But that's the new...
That's what's going on in Toronto. And then you got guys like your friend who's saying, don't comment on it. Why not? We're not trying to get a job in Toronto. I don't care. I'm not trying to get a job in the CFL.
It's none of my business, and there's a lot of people that wish I didn't talk about our own team's business. But that's kind of what we do here. But anyways, my point is, if it's not the way you and I think it should be done, is it necessarily wrong? If it's not the way it's conventionally done in pro football, does that make it wrong? I guess we'll find out, won't we?
Yeah, because you want to be competitive. I would hate to be a professional football player under that regime right now. Well, there's no regime under that organization right now because it takes so much in the off season to get your body and your mind to the peak level to where it needs to be to perform, and to think that there's absolutely no footing underneath you right now when you're out there and you're going 6 days a week hard. I'm talking 4 or 5 hours a day and you're fitting everything around certain work schedules and stuff to have no footing underneath me. It'd be a nightmare.
But what have you been doing for 2.5 months? That's, I guess, my point. I mean, I'm down in Mexico last week. Everybody's giving me heck for being on my phone, right?
Yeah.
Well, who's breaking the stories about Otho Foster signing with the Ravens or that Chris Rossetti is the leading candidate to be the next Argos GM? It's me. Like, You don't take your foot off the gas. No. You just don't.
And there's an element of my conversation to everybody when I always tell them, you know, you control what you can control. And, you know, it shouldn't matter who the regime is and things like that. And I get that. But right now, I mean, the team itself isn't doing anybody any favors. Like, you want, at least you want to get on a roster that you can honestly look into each other's eyes and say, we're here to win the Grey Cup.
And you can't. Sure and how deflating that must be. And I would hate to be a staffer for that football team. And I've said that for 6 months when I was in Toronto, and the league was literally laughed at by the millennials that they're trying to attract. That's all. That's their deal.
Yeah.
Alouettes blogger Cliffy D. Pine is going to be with us later on to talk about the Al situation. And it's an interesting one that took a turn today when they released longtime starting right tackle Jeff Parrott. Now, your buddy Herb Zerkowski just went deep in an article in the Montreal Gazette as to why they released Jeff Parrott. He was due a sizable bonus in February and due to make $200,000 this season. Luke, why did they cut Jeff Parrott today?
Well, for those reasons right there, but
No, because of all the money. But it's to pay for...
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, they have to have the funds now available to A, pay doubles, and B, hopefully attract some of these free agents that they might have their eye on, right?
But so the big one is A.
Yeah. A lot of it's going to go into doubles. They need to shed some salary there.
So you're kind of seeing why the Riders didn't want to pay that money to Deering or anybody that's playing behind center.
That's what's it called. That's the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. The Montreal journey is different. And
yes.
When you get a guy like Doubles in the fold, I'd want to surround him by as many veterans as possible, right? It's just you're without a right tackle now. Your left tackle had a, you know, he's okay, and he's going into his second year, obviously.
Ooh, Ruby.
So you'd want to see a huge improvement. But, man, one less vet in the locker room, one less vet on the field calling things out. That's a tough deal. And then you have Brodeur Jourdain, who's going in there, and he spent a lot of time last year hurt. So, who knows what's in there? You got to protect your quarterback. And Doubles just came from a team that had issues protecting the quarterback, and now it's going on, and he's already seeing a guy that's been the right tackle there for a long, long time.
Gone.
I mean, if you're Doubles, you're like, oh, I hope they hope there's a good plan there.
And he looks at his bank account and smiles.
And then says, yeah.
I guess. But now, for the benefit of all of our new listeners here in Hour 2 that weren't listening in Hour 1, there's become a lot of quality Canadian offensive linemen on the market. Josh Bork in Toronto cut. We're believed because of salary reasons. Mm-hmm. Jeff Parrott, we know, were salary reasons. And all of a sudden, the Riders have quite a bit of money left to allocate to the offensive line, which is exactly what they told me they were going to do the day Deering went off in the media on Sunday, November the 6th. That's where they said they wanted to put the money.
If you're the Saskatchewan Rough Riders now, yeah, that's exactly where you should be putting it, is in the offensive line, because regardless if you have Kevin Glenn, who's in the back stages of his career and still can make throws, but obviously isn't as strong and as nimble and as agile and as tough as he was when he was a younger quarterback. You'll have to protect him. And if it's a young quarterback at the helm for the first time going into the 2017, you want to protect him as well, just because it gives him a chance to actually make his reads, to learn some of these things that he's going through, right? If you have defensive linemen coming at you left, right, and center because of a bad offensive line and you're a young quarterback, you don't have a shot at improving. So, obviously, the offensive line is a definite spot where that needs to be addressed, and it will go a long way for that offensive line, however it looks in 2017, coming out of June, to be ready to go and look very, very good, because you're going to have to protect the quarterback.
Some audience participation. Mike in Regina writes in on the Prairie Mobile text line, says, Abu is right. If you want to develop a quarterback, we have to be patient, and Kevin Glenn is here as a mentor to help develop these young quarterbacks, and the Riders are steps ahead of where they were last year at this time. Teams and fans that have no patience are the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. They think you can turn the team around in a year. That's all the BS I heard from my relations in Winnipeg. And he goes on to say, the Argos run their team like the make-me-laughs.
Hey.
The Leafs.
You don't start talking bad about the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Gary Clueless writes a column at TSN.ca the other day saying if the Argos want to rebuild, they just got to look across town at the Leafs at what they're doing. And I didn't. I just saw the headline. I didn't need to read the article. I knew what he was getting at. But the Leafs haven't won anything yet.
We will, though. And we have Austin Matthews, who, by the way, is his jersey. Man, can't keep it on the shelf in America or Canada. Go Leafs.
He'd have looked nice in a Coyotes jersey. There's no two ways about that. Oh, I should pause. Couple of things that are going on with their Arizona party, Rider party next week. It's become huge. So get this one. We have our Rider party at Salt Taco and Tequila and the Whiskey Rose. They're two adjacent bars.
That sounds amazing.
Right beside the hockey rink. The first year, we had 350 people. Last year, we had 1,200 people.
Jeez.
And this year, based on that, I'm assuming 3,000 to 4,000 Rider fans will be there. Not even joking.
Unreal.
The owner of the bar, John, Greek boy, has become a good friend of mine. He said last year's Rider party, Luke, was his third highest revenue day ever.
Boom.
Behind the Super Bowl in Glendale and the college football championship game in Glendale. I said, John, I love you, son, but we didn't even play a game.
Yeah.
This was just a party of our fans. Yeah. Imagine if the Riders had played. We might have broken a Super Bowl record for your revenue.
Absolutely.
So anyways, we'll continue to do what we always do and have the party on the Thursday. Carm's going to be there. Naaman Roosevelt's flying in for it. And then we got the Coyotes and the Canadians, and the Arizona Coyotes always do a lot of great things for us when we're there. That's why they're my team.
But Jordan Hughes might stop by.
Who?
Jordan Hughes. I think he's going to get involved.
Well, I'm getting to a story of newly signed Cardinals, or at least trying out. I'm getting to that. But here's what's new. So that's all on the Thursday. On the Friday, at a bar in Mesa, Arizona called The Draft, we're going to have a Rider party noon to 3. George Reed's going to be there. I'm going to be there. All the alumni are going to be there that's coming.
Nice.
Friday night, Phoenix Suns, Chicago Bulls. They have reserved sections for Rider fans with discounted prices for Rider fans. There's a link at rodpeterson.com right now in my Monday Morning Goalie column to click on it and buy your tickets. So there's all that. But Richie Leone, you know him, the kicker for the Lions who just signed with the Cardinals.
Yeah.
I was talking to his camp, if you will,
today.
And I said, hey, well, it would be great to have an Arizona Cardinal come down, sign autographs, take pictures, da-da-da-da. Well, they said, Richie, this was the quote, and Rider fans, don't lynch this guy, okay, because he may still show up, but he said, he's not really feeling Rider fans. Richie's not really feeling Rider fans right now. I said, why not? Well, he's afraid that they're going to, you know, get on him about going 0-for-4 in that last game in Regina. Mm. Remember that?
Yeah.
That was a farewell game.
Yeah.
And I said, Rider fans don't care.
Yeah, they don't care about that
He's
at all.
He's a Cardinal now.
Yeah.
The BC thing won't even come up.
Yeah.
It's a party.
Half of them don't even know that Richie Leone was a BC Lion.
I know, right?
They're going to be like, who's this guy? I heard he's an Arizona Cardinals kicker.
Well, why do we have such a bad rep that somebody would think that?
Yeah. That'd be a Winnipeg thing to do, I think.
Bomber fans would do that.
Oh, they'd be all over it, yeah. But yeah.
Very Winnipeg-ish.
Not Rider fans, no way. They
Rider fans would be the last thing on their mind.
Very Winnipeg-ish.
That's right. So I'm still working on Richie Leone.
There you go.
But I just said, look, come on.
All right, hey, I know guys in that camp, too. I'll give it a push from my side.
It would be great.
Yeah.
It would be great. So that's kind of the plans, folks.
Because here's the flip side. Here's the flip side. He could remember he's a kicker and that he normally doesn't get invited to anything anyways.
No kidding.
So
we're actually inviting
so
you to something.
Yeah, yeah.
As Lynch would say, he sounds kind of NTS.
Not too smart.
And I've just found that Winnipeg people, they're just NTS, not too smart.
Thanks, Lynch. Saying it the way it is.
Jeez.
It's a Rider Monday for Midtown Auto Sales. We'll be back in a moment on 620 CKRM. Rider Monday continues with a look at the Boston Pizza afternoon rush. NHL rinks are dark as the All-Star break continues until tomorrow night. The Canadian Hockey League will hold its top prospects game, though, tonight in Quebec City. Rogers Sportsnet's got it. The CHL issued a statement last night saying its thoughts are with the family and friends of those affected by Sunday's shooting at a mosque in the city. The Pats' Jake Lecicien's playing in the top prospects game tonight. And without Lecision today, the Pats won 2-1 in Saskatoon in a Monday matinee, their fifth win in a row.
That was a big game. That was the team up for respect game.
School
game.
8,019 on hand.
Yep.
At Saskatchewan
Dan Clark
place.
Was there.
Who?
Dan Clark was there. Dropping the puck for Red Cross Pink Day. He was also doing a little second intermission.
He does
activity.
A great job for you.
He does an Dan is an unreal ambassador to the province, to the students, and to the Imaginable Bowling
Super program. Bowl week kicks off today in Houston. Each team will spend time with reporters tonight. From there, it's a regimented schedule for both the Atlanta Falcons and New England Patriots as they prepare for the 51st Super Bowl on Sunday. And that's the Boston Pizza Afternoon Rush. Boston Pizza will make you a fan. To the phones. Katie in Abernathy writes in and he says, I believe the reason the Riders didn't want a 3-year, $1.2 million guaranteed contract for Darian, because then we're locked in for 3 years to pay and no further on the next guy. What new guy wants to come in and wait 3 years for the chance? Certainly a Franklin type would not. By wanting to offer a reduced and incentive contract, they can play Darian as needed and transition to the next one is decided. Wow. Do you buy that?
I actually don't care to we're talking about the double situation a lot, way too much now. I mean, it happened. Mm-hmm. Everybody got what they wanted. The Riders got what they wanted, and doubles got what they wanted. And now I think it's important to focus on exactly what we need to do with the money, or the Riders need to do with the money and the personnel space they
ding,
now
ding, ding. Great point. Yeah. And Travis in Regina is right. He's picking up what you're putting down.
Yeah.
He says, kind of seems like teams are going to imports at the O-line at the tackle spots and going with non-imports elsewhere. Example, more receivers and linebackers. It's a really good point.
Yeah, it is.
But that doesn't mean we got to. I mean, if you can have five Canadian offensive linemen, you're so much further ahead.
Oh, absolutely. If you can have five, that's best case scenario. I mean, we talked about Montreal a lot this program. And when I think about the Montreal, the days that they were, you know, one of the best teams in the league for so long, I mean, they had five offensive guys. Maybe they had one American guy, but the majority of those guys were Canadian offensive linemen. And I think that you're absolutely right. You're positioning yourself well if you're offensive lineman, because it allows you to be a lot more flexible in the playmaking skill positions with the ratio.
Anonymous texter from the 201 writes in and says, what's the scoop on Eli Bauka? Last I heard, he is still on the Cardinals practice roster. I don't think he got into a game this year. That's the former Dino.
So. Yeah, I don't think he did either. You got to remember that Eli was one of my more favorite prospects, yep, but he was hurt.
And the Riders drafted him.
Yeah, he was hurt. And I think that I'm pretty sure that he was probably rehabbing for some of that part down there this year. And I think that this year is probably a chance or an opportunity that he'll get to play a lot more than his first year, strictly because he's probably trying to come back off of an injury that takes a significant amount of time to rehab properly if you want to really come back off it.
Tim from Francis, Saskatchewan writes in and says, do you not think the Edmonton Eskimos will eventually trade Franklin, as next year they will get nothing for him? That's the million-dollar question.
Yeah.
And Ed Hervey's holding all the cards.
Yep, Ed Hervey holds all the cards right now. I think that the one thing that is favorable to Saskatchewan is that you knew that Ed Hervey was going to ask for a lot from for Mr. Franklin. Obviously, as the time ticks down, that want or that laundry list of things that they would like for James Franklin may go down a bit, because they want to get something for, you know, a player that they know they're not going to keep. But I do think now the Riders are a lot more equipped to make a trade that makes sense for both organizations. I think that if you're looking at maybe a month ago, the Riders were not equipped to make a trade for James Franklin. I think they
didn't
are
have
now
the assets.
I think, yeah, they didn't have the assets and potentially didn't, yeah. I mean, whether it be draft picks, whether it be players, whether it be money, they didn't have the assets. I think they do. They're in a better position now to make that trade if need be.
Murray from Lenberg writes in and says, Kevin Glenn should and will be our starter for at least the first six games. I agree with Abu totally. He at least gives us a chance to compete.
Well, I think we should mark this day in history because that's two callers now and texters that have agreed with something that Abu has said. I think this is
red letter day,
historical day in the sports cage. But I don't, like I said, I think that if Kevin Glenn starts, it's not a bad thing. We know what we're getting out of Kevin Glenn, and he's been a successful quarterback in this league. But I just don't think that Kevin Glenn was plan A. However, if you look at plan B options, Kevin Glenn's probably the best plan B. And I'm not talking pregnancy.
We're going to Montreal next. They're in the news today. You want to know where they're going? Cliffy D. Pine will tell us. Cliffy D. Pine from the alternative.com blog. It's a Rider Monday for Midtown Auto Sales. Let me tell you something about Midtown Auto Sales. They're at the corner of 8th and Winnipeg Street. Good deals from the good guys. 20 years of doing it right. Visit midtownautosales.ca. Pats were winners today with the latest. Here's Dr. Phil.
Come on.
Sports Cage continues in a Rider Monday. We're doing business as the show rolls on. That's why I got Luke riding shotgun, folks. He's the best in the business for a reason, and looks like we're going to have some Arizona Cardinals stopping by our Riderville, Arizona 3 party next week.
We can rustle up here. I'm sure they say that a lot in Phoenix. Rustle it up.
Oh, they do.
Yeah.
Believe me, they do. That is cowboy country down there in Phoenix, Arizona, and we'll be there next week. A week from Thursday, as a matter of fact, the Coyotes and the Canadiens. Mm. We've got our Riderville party at the Westgate Plaza, right beside the hockey rink and football stadium. It'll be at Salt Taco and Tequila and the Whiskey Rose. So you got your Cardinals players hopefully coming. You're working through their contacts. And then on Friday, Rider fan party at the Draft Sports Bar in Mesa, Arizona. George Reed will be there. I'll be there. The Italian Stallion, Carm Carteri, if he can walk by then. And the NBA Suns and Bulls at Talking Stick Resort Arena downtown Phoenix. All the links for tickets are on my website, rodpeterson.com, in today's Monday Morning Goalie column. The promo code is there as well. We want to make it a big old time, and it will be for sure. So, the Owls in the news today. Anwar Stewart, their defensive lineman D-line coach fired. Like, they just try to sneak that in.
They just slide it in. Oh, yeah, by the way.
At the bottom of the release that they cut veteran offensive tackle Jeff Parrott, and they're saying it's to make room to pay for Darian Durant. Well, Cliffy D. Pine, good friend of the Sports Cage, writes the alternative.com blog, one of the few English-language outlets covering the Alouettes. He joins us from Montreal tonight. How are you doing? Bonsoir, Cliffy.
Bonsoir. How's everybody doing out there in Regina?
Not bad, man. It's above zero. We're happy.
Yeah.
I'm a big weather guy. How's the temps in Montreal?
Chilly, actually. I mean, and we got that humid cold as well. So, I mean, at least y'all got that dry cold, which isn't so bad.
Yeah, but when it's minus 47, at least we say it's a dry cold.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah.
So, Cliffy, you got a new quarterback.
Yes, we do. And I got to say, was not too sure at first, but the more and more I think about it, the more excited I can't help but be at the idea of having doubles in red, blue, and silver.
Well, what was the initial reaction from yourself and the Owls fan base, which, as Luke knows, they got a rabid fan base over there?
Well, to tell you the truth, I think there was a lot of relief, a lot of excitement, and I'm sure a lot of trepidation as well, because, I mean, let's face it, Darian is in his mid-30s. He's had a couple of injury-filled seasons, and we did see quite a bit of Vernon Adams last year, and I guess the idea is that, yeah, we do want to be able to develop this guy properly, but at the same time, are we kind of sort of brushing him off to the side in order to make room for Darian? So I guess it's a little bit of, I don't want to necessarily say concern, but I guess it's a little bit of everything, really. So, I mean, there's definitely a lot of excitement, though. I think this does give the Alouettes instant credibility. I think a lot of people have now sat up and taken notice of what Kavis Reed is doing in Montreal. And how can you not be excited at the prospect of having a two-time Grey Cup champion as your quarterback?
Hey, maybe you can help us with this conversation here, Cliffy. We were talking about Jeff Parrott's release today. And we get the money, and even if you want to push age out there, even though 32 is not that old for a offensive lineman, What is there a is there in that scouting system in the ranks the depth tackle that they might be looking to replace Parrott, or is that somebody that they may be looking to get it through free agency? Because you get a guy like Doubles, you got a second year tackle next year going in with Jake and Ruby, and now you get rid of a guy that's been a stalwart for that squad. Like, wouldn't you want to protect your new franchise quarterback?
Yeah, and as much as I like Jacob Ruby, I do find, like, last year he was just such a liability at that left tackle position. I mean, he didn't have an easy position. He was trying to replace Josh Burke, who, again...
Yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah. Easier said than done.
Yeah, exactly.
And now you got to be able to replace a guy like Jeff Perry, who, again, I definitely a big fan of, and I still think he's got a lot of great football left in him. So, I guess that's kind of the trade-off, right? You got to have a... You got to be able to afford to pay a guy like Darian Durant, but at the same time, it's going to come at the expense of a Jeff Kurt, which is unfortunate. And I guess as a free agency looms, I guess now it's really going to be a matter of taking a look at seeing who's out there and who can they get that's going to be effective, but at the same time, not break the bank.
Well, that's the thing, because we were talking about the ability of the Montreal Alouettes organization to always have good offensive linemen in their depth. Like, I brought up a guy like Ryan Bombin or a guy like Christian Matt, who waited about 3 years to play and now is producing nicely down there at their left guard spot. It's been that way for Montreal for a while, so we figured there may be some guy in the organization right now that's ready to roll.
And the beautiful thing about Christian Mathieu is he's so versatile. Like last year, he had replaced Luc Brodeur-Jodin at center. He was played tackle as well. He's a natural guard. I mean, the guy can do a little bit of everything. So I think if LBJ does come back 100% like he's expecting to be, and then you got Matt as well, who can sort of go between any of those positions that I mentioned. And like I said, if they can pick up someone that's just a good solid tackle. You don't have to be a superstar. You don't have to be a raw rookie. Just someone that's kind of sort of in the middle, if you will. And like I said, just as long as you don't break the bank, because that's a big key right now for Montreal.
Alouettes blogger Cliffy D. Pine with us on the Wheaton Kia Hotline. Cliff, the pundits were saying, and I was one of them on the day of the Durant trade, that this immediately makes the Owls contenders in the East. Do you go along with that?
To a degree, I do. I definitely think it definitely legitimizes things. I think it kind of makes people sit up and take notice. But at the end of the day, I really think that offensive line really has to get a lot better. I mean, you got some good, solid rookies there. You got Philippe Gagnon. Jacob Ruby, like I said, had his struggles, but I think if he can get his act together and be that force that everybody expected him to be when he was drafted in the first round 2 years ago, I have to believe that with the right pieces in place, I definitely think Montreal definitely is becoming a contender as well, especially too when you look at what's going on in Toronto as well. I definitely guarantee that Montreal will not be in the last place.
So what can you tell us about one Daron Carter?
You guys are going to absolutely love him. I know he's got the reputation, he's got that sort of misconception about him, and I can tell you right now, I've known the guy since 2013 when he was on the practice roster. He's been nothing but a class act. Fans are absolutely going to love him. The only thing I would say to Rider Nation is ignore the noise, ignore all the comments you've heard about him and everything like that. Just get to know him. Once you see him in training camp, once you see everything that he's all about, everybody in Saskatchewan is going to absolutely fall in love with the guy. He's an absolute class act all the way, especially when it comes to fans. Like, he is very loving. He's very giving of his time and energy. I'm excited for you guys, quite frankly. I'm a little disappointed that he couldn't come back to Montreal, but I think Saskatchewan's gain is going to be, or Montreal's loss is going to be Saskatchewan's gain in this card.
Well, Luke and I are kind of going back and forth on this, because I do believe he could be, at his best, he could be the best player in the Canadian Football League. Luke, he's the biggest game-changing receiver.
Oh, yeah,
right?
No question.
I mean, Montreal was never out of a game if you could find Carter, you know, deep. And but Cliff... Why is he not still an Alouette then?
Well, I guess any number of reasons, really. I mean, I think what it came down to was just the situation where he was in. I think he got a little bit of leeway when it came to Jim Popp sort of running things. I think he was giving Daron a lot of leeway, and I guess the current pieces that are in place right now are just not going to think along those lines. I think there's a real shift in attitude in Montreal to sort of distance themselves, if you will, from the whole Jim Popp era. And I think, unfortunately, Daron's a big piece of that as well.
That's a dangerous comment. to me. And I think you're right, Cliff, but do you want to distance yourself from the Jim Pop era? They were the model franchise for 20 years.
Oh, there's no question about that. But and again, I can't say 100% that I'm still very much in wait and see mode when it comes to this new administration. I'm wanting to be positive. I'm wanting to give them every benefit of the doubt. But at the same time, they've got their work cut out for them. And when it comes to getting rid of a lot of these fan favorites, especially when it comes to Duran, I mean, anything's possible. So, like I said, I really want to be positive about this, and I'm certainly trying my best to be, but I'm very much still in wait and see mode. So I'm ready to be impressed. That's all I got to say about that.
Cliffy, where can our rabid football fans that are listening follow your work?
Well, you can always check me out over at www.alternative.com, or just head on over to the old Twitter machine at Cliffy D.
This has been awesome, Cliffy. Thanks for this. Say hi to the lovely Menno, and we'll be in touch here down the road.
All righty. Thanks so much. And enjoy yourselves against in Arizona for the game. I didn't even realize that the Canadians were going to be playing that game. Had I known, I probably would have wanted to work it out. I can go with you guys.
Well, you still can, but I'm sure at least you'll be watching. It's going to be big fun.
Oh, yeah. I'm looking forward to it.
Thanks, Cliffy.
All right. Take care.
Cliffy D. Pine. Now, two things come out of that to me. One, this won't mean anything to you, Luke, but in 1997-ish, the Kamloops Blazers fired their president and GM, saying they wanted to go in a different direction after having won 3 Memorial Cups in 5 years.
Yeah.
They sure did! They've been garbage for 20 years. And then the other thing with Duran Carter, because I'm a fan, I loved watching him. Period.
Yeah.
I'm sure you did too.
Well, we did a brief look at him on Riderville.com. I watched a lot of film on that
stud.
Cat, man.
But hang on, though.
He's a very tough receiver, too.
But here's my point on it.
Yeah, he's a guy that you can get in a lot of situations and really expose some mismatches.
Who's going to have the biggest influence on Duran Carter, the person?
Chris Jones.
Okay, well, I didn't give you my options yet.
Well, there's my answer. What are the options?
Chris Jones or Marcus Howell?
Chris Jones.
Because, well, Howell's going to spend more time with him.
Chris Jones, because I think that, you know, when you look at the makeup of the team now, and a lot's being made of the veterans that have been that aren't here anymore, all the way from last year to up till now, especially with number 4, our man Doubles. It's very clear that while all of this talented nucleus gets formed, bonds, gets together, mix it with some of the leadership that's still in that locker room that still has to find a way to influence there, because, I mean, you got a guy like Rob Bagg. I'm telling you, if some of those young cats, especially a receiver, aren't looking at Rob Bagg to
He'll
learn how to be
up.
A pro, they're bananas. But while all this is taking place and this cake is being built, there's one leader, and I think that everybody's looking to him, and it's Chris Jones. And you know what? Is that something that you'd want out of a franchise that you want to win a championship? I think that right now it's exactly where they should be. Just with the amount of people and the amount, like, they've got some young guys in there. I mean, we talked about it at length on Friday. I mean, most of their re-signings, those guys are between the ages of 24 to 26. You got a guy like Willie Jefferson who would have commanded as much money as anybody on the free agent market if he had made. He's 26, and he's played 3 years.
Yeah.
And he's a Grey Cup championship. You look at guys like Jordan Reeves, like, man, and then you get guys like Greg Jones in there to add a little bit of flavor. And, man, I'm telling you, I think this team needs top-down leadership while everything, because they'll establish a core. The leaders will step out eventually and take control of that locker room. But right now, I think they're in a position where it needs to be top-down leadership. And I think I have, to tell you the truth, I think that's what Chris Jones wants anyways.
We got a lot of things to talk about on the other side of the break. The one thing I like about, and I saw this very early on, that the meat of this team is going to be, the entire team, except for the quarterback, are going to be guys in their mid to late 20s. That's where you win.
Yeah.
At the tail end of the Tamman Chamberlain regime, it was rookies and old guys. There was nobody in between. And I do remember people telling me in pro football that weren't affiliated with this team, it's a horrible mix because rookies make mistakes and old vets get hurt.
Yep.
And that's exactly what happened. It was a disaster. Now, what's hamstringing this regime was a 5-13 record in year one. People don't want to move off that.
Yeah, but the team was 3-15 the year before.
It's an improvement, right. Yeah. But we'll talk about that and more when we come back. It is a Rider Monday for Midtown Auto Sales on Rider Radio 620 CKRM. RMP, Sports Cage Sports Ticker, Philadelphia right winger Wayne Simmonds has been named the NHL's first Star of the Week. The Flyers forward was named the MVP of Sunday's NHL All-Star Game and had two goals in two league games earlier in the week. San Jose's Patrick Marleau and Toronto goalie Frederick Anderson were the second and third stars, respectively. Blue Jays signed right-hander Lucas Herald to a minor league contract with an invitation to big league spring training. He made 9 starts last year for the Braves and Rangers, going 3-2. And the Raptors start the day in third in the NBA's Eastern Conference. They're a half game behind second place Boston, 4 games behind Cleveland. Celts are home to Detroit tonight. The Cavs are in Dallas. The idle Raptors have lost 6 of their last 7, Luke.
We lost Orlando. Man, Orlando played well yesterday.
They turned into the Crapters.
No, we'll be back.
That's the RMP, Sports Cage Sports Ticker, Regina Motor Products, home of no car crap BS. Just before we round out or talk a little NFL and Super Bowl, and you'll be with me later in the week to talk more about the game.
Yep.
But just on the Riders for a second, people, this was a great discussion in hour one. They don't want to move off the 5-13 record in the year one of the Jones regime because they expected more. And the other thing is people saying he should cut his wage if he expects all the vets to take pay cuts, which is completely ludicrous. It doesn't work that way. His salary is exempt from the salary cap. It's got nothing to do with it. Even if he did take a pay cut, he couldn't give it to the players.
No.
He couldn't. But about the fact that people are still upset that they were 5-13, do they have a right?
Yeah, because as passionate fans, you want the team to win a Grey Cup every single year. We're like that with the Cowboys. We're mad if the Cowboys aren't winning the Super Bowl, right? But you have to also be realistic and look at you mentioned going off of into the break here, you have to look at where the team was, what type of players and how their makeup was, and there was a lot of work to do. There's a fair amount of work to do there, and I think there's still a fair amount of work to do to before you have a finished product. But they were 5-13 last year, to tell you the truth, they were 5-13. In a season that sort of played along with the season before, where their vets were getting hurt, and they only won 3 games that year. So it's an improvement, but also it's Rider Nation, and the expectations have been high here since 2006. So I get it. I surely get it. But at the same time, what you would ask the fan base to do is consider what actually truly had to be done here.
Yes, and you mentioned expectations, which is something that's been rattling around in my cranium for some time. Look, no matter how optimistic you are for this season as a Rider fan, and we all are, let's get real for a minute. Who's going to be worse? BC, probably, because they've lost a lot of guys. But who are they going to beat out to make the playoffs? And what I'm saying is, can a Chris Jones team go under the radar? Because they're not going to be picked by many to even make the playoffs this year.
No, they're not. And listen, I do think that if Plan A comes to fruition,
James Franklin,
this team. Well, I don't know what Plan A is.
Okay.
But yeah, say Dave Franklin, who still has. We have a lot to see out of Franklin, regardless of which teams he's on. I think the problem is that yes, the Riders are going to be improved, and I think that they have to obviously, but I don't see the West being any poorer. I think Winnipeg's going to be really, really good next year. I think they're going to take the next step. I expect Calgary to be as good as they were last year.
And have revenge on their mind.
Yeah, and I think that BC, as many guys as they lost to at the NFL this year, I think there's going to be a couple guys waiting in the wings as well. I think that when you look at Wally Buono and the coaching staff and the personnel group that he's had for a long time, and as well as Huffnagel, his personnel group, I think it's business as usual, and the Riders essentially have to be a lot better because I don't see this West getting any weaker anytime soon. As long as Wally's over there in BC, as long as Huffnagel's over there in Calgary, as long as Hervey's there in Edmonton, and people are starting to sleep. I questioned Hervey when he first got into as a GM, and it looked like he was making some boneheaded moves too. But man, you can't really argue with the people and the staff he's got in line there. As granted, Jason Moss is still a very young head coach. I mean, they looked to be, I mean, they were serious contenders, you know, for the last part of the season, right? I mean, they sort of peaked when they needed to, and I think that they'll be even better next year. So, yeah, the Riders have to be better. And unfortunately, it's
– But how much better
even if
can,
they are better.
How much better can they be?
Oh, well, it's not hard to be better than 5-13, right? You just need some more consistency, and I think that if the injury bug avoids them, they got all the chance in the world.
Just in the couple minutes that we have left, we're already inundated with Super Bowl coverage from Houston, and I'm loving it. I'm
man.
Loving it.
Awesome. Especially, they were leading off with a segment we couldn't hear with Michael Irvin. Which is
the playmaker,
man?
Is this Patriots Falcons matchup? I almost said Texans because it's in Houston.
Yeah,
Patriots Falcons matchup, a sexy one.
Yeah,
for you.
I think it is. I think it is. I think that it's a high powered offense going against one of the smartest coaches and coaching staffs in the New England Patriots, especially defensively. I think that they're one of the only teams that actually have DBs that can play with against Julio Jones and Mohamed Sanu. Yeah, I think that the most important thing for the Pats is going to be how to limit that backfield with Freeman and Coleman back there. I think though that's the beast in itself, because I really think that they have DBs that can sort of play with Julio Jones and company. So, and then on the offensive side of the ball, I mean, you got a guy, Chris Hogan, I think his first name was, comes
the receiver
out of nowhere, does a great
no
job.
Kidding.
I expect the Pats to be as is on offense, and I really like the Pats with LeGarrette Blount, James White, the other cat back there whose name escapes me right now. But, yeah, I like the matchup. I really do. I think that I think it's going to be a good one. And I'm kind of, honestly, I know that everybody's pulling for the Falcons because everybody hates the Pats. I kind of would like Belichick and Brady to win another one.
I've become a Patriots fan.
Yeah, I'm not going to say that because Brady went to the University of Michigan, so he's always going to have that working against him for me. But you can't help but respect and admire things that Bill Belichick's put together. I mean, just today on Facebook, we're seeing articles written all the way back when by reporters that said the Pats are going to regret hiring Belichick. Right? That's how much if you trust the process and stick to your guns and avoid everything going in the media.
That's
the
model.
Sky's the limit. Yeah,
it's the model here. By the way, Patriots favored by 3.
Are they really?
Yep.
That'd be surprising. I thought the Falcons would be favored.
They're the young up-and-comers, aren't they?
Yeah, they are.
But the Patriots are the old dogs. It's the young bull against the old bull.
Mm.
And the old bull usually wins.
Yeah.
Okay, Candid Frank is going to light up the Argos next hour, and he is an Argos supporter. Or he was. Mm. You're not going to want to miss that, folks. You can always chime in on Twitter, the Molson Coors Twitter feed, at Rod Peterson. Coors Banquet Stubbies are finally in Saskatchewan, available at all participating liquor stores. Must be legal drinking age. Please drink responsibly. Luke, great to see you.
All right, man.
Good job.
Thanks a lot. Yeah.
Hour 3 next of a Rider Monday for Midtown Auto Sales on 620 CKRN. Hola, everybody. ¿Cómo estás? It's good to be back in the sports cage. Welcome to the program, everybody. You have just dropped smack dab into the middle of a Rider Monday. As we take flight in hour 3, it's a Nevin Chamney-produced program, and it's been a very busy day. The Regina Pats were victorious today, 2-1 up in Saskatoon, in a game heard on this very radio station. 8,019 showed up to the Blade School Day. Imagine no bullying. Red Cross had a factor there. And the Pats won their 5th in a row. We're going to be talking some CFL in a moment with our good friend Candid Frank Stanici. He hosts the Candid Frank podcast out of Toronto. He covers the Argos, and he's a season ticket holder, and he's livid at the direction, or lack thereof, of his beloved Double Blue. They, of course, fired their general manager, Jim Barker, last Tuesday. Friday night, their head coach, Scott Milanovic, resigned. And we're just a couple of weeks away from free agency, and their front office is empty. That would tick a lot of people off, and Frank's one of them. And he'll join us shortly. But other things going on in sports, the week-long circus that's called Super Bowl Week begins tonight in Houston as both the Patriots and Falcons meet with reporters, the teams will face these same reporters with the same questions pretty much every day this week, leading up to Sunday's NFL Championship game in Houston's NRG Stadium, 5 o'clock kickoff. Patriots favored by 3. And if you missed our discussion at the end of Hour 2, Luke and I were talking about this matchup, the young and up-and-coming scrappy Falcons against the older, wiser, veteran New England Patriots, led by Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. Dan Quinn and Matty Ice running the Falcons. It's an old bull, young bull scenario. And my farm friends will agree, the old bull always wins. So we expect the Patriots to be carting around the Vince Lombardi Trophy come Saturday afternoon or Sunday afternoon. There's big baseball news, though, really big news this afternoon. The St. Louis Cardinals have been ordered by Major League Baseball to pay the Houston Astros $2 million as compensation for an employee hacking into the Astros' email system and scouting database. The commissioner, Rob Manfred, also stripped the Cardinals of their top two picks in this year's amateur draft and banned former Cardinals scouting executive Christopher Correa for life. The draft picks are going to the Astros as well. And it's got many saying, if you're going to break into somebody's scouting database, at least pick a good team. Oh, and we were talking with Cliffy D. Pine last hour, the Alouettes blogger, about Darian Durant coming to town. He says he's trying to stay positive and hope for the best, but they cut their outstanding right tackle, Jeff Parrott, today, who was due a big bonus next month and $200,000 this year. They cut him. Why? To pay for Darian Durant. You might be starting to see why the Riders let him go. And we asked Cliffy D. Pine what he thought about Daron Carter's signing here. He says the Riders and their fans will love him. And our analysts were saying earlier, was he signed to potentially be dealt to Edmonton in a deal for James Franklin? Well, Jason down in Estevan, Jason Fichter from the Rider Prider fan page on Facebook writes in, Daron Carter won't be traded. You don't trade the best receiver in the league for anything. The Riders are stacked at receiver. I see another going. If there is indeed a trade for Franklin, I won't mention his name, but not Daron Carter. Welcome back, Roddy, says Jason and Estevan. Thank you, Jason. It's great to be back. It's great to be talking CFL. And I might have to counsel and talk off the ledge our good friend Frank Stanici from the Candid Frank podcast in Toronto. How you doing, Frankie?
Hey, I'm doing great. How are things there in the great white north?
It's fantastic, my man. Snow is melting, and it's rather balmy around here. And Frank, listen, I saw your tweets, I saw your Facebook comments last week about your Argos situation. As your usual style, they were very emotional and heated. Have you calmed down at all a few days later?
Yes, I have. I have. We haven't won the Grey Cup in 13 years. All this BS about, without Toronto, the CFL will fail. I can hear the wambulances right now. We're going to survive for our own sake. Argo lifers are in for life. We're in there for life. The Argos are our team, and they're going to be around. As bad as it looks right now, it's looked worse in other places. We'll be fine. Yeah, missteps were made by the organization, not firing Milanovic when he was 4-8 instead of waiting till he quit 3 weeks or whatever it is before the draft. And then losing the first overall pick to Winnipeg, giving them the third overall pick next year, and the all-star, TJ Heath, and we end up with Willie, who can't seem to do nothing, and I can't even blame him. Why? They released receivers with Dal Hazelton, Kevin Elliott, Torrey Gurley, Phil Bates, and they all get a job within a couple weeks. Michael Copeland fires Jim Barker 3 weeks before free agency. And as I said, Scott Milanovic quits to be the Jacksonville Jags quarterback coach. Everybody's having a good laugh. Argo safety Jermaine Gabriel, a Toronto kid, tweeted, I need a sinking ship emoji. And I sent him one. Argo's also, I heard from people, I mean, Arash Madani said, they should do, I don't know who it was, I can't remember anymore, that they should do what the Leafs do. The Argos do not have the money That's something. There's four teams in the CFL that can make that claim before the Argos can. The Argos have to do it intelligently. That's how they get ahead. On the good news front, will Michael Copeland, a CFL head office dollar and cents guy, be able to walk the talk? You know, we will be great. We will be the best. I believe he will succeed. He is a passionate and intelligent about our game. Now he is more knowledgeable about the reality of running a CFL franchise. Talk about trial by fire. The Grey Cup prices fiasco was fixed. It was handled well. A lot of people got credits, and everybody that I spoke to said they were happy with the way it ended up. Can Argo management this year, whatever it looks like, be worse than last year's? Especially, can a team play worse than 2-7 at home while Keynote scored 283 to 107? No, they can be better than that. Can the new GM make less beneficial moves for the organization than Barker? Hell, Barker made probably more mistakes this past year than he did his whole freaking career. A new coach with a clean slate that wants to be here? Hang on, I didn't finish yet. I need another sip of my Kool-Aid. Okay, now, hang on. Sean Lemon wagers $2,000 against Simone Lawrence of the Ticats. That's Argo versus Ticat. And they bet on Argos will not make the playoffs. That's Simone Lawrence. Will make the playoffs, Sean Lemon. And the most important change that has to happen in this city and for our football team is Drew Willey has to be the guy that everybody thought he was when he was in Saskatchewan. Everybody thought he was in Winnipeg when they traded for him. And everybody that... the coach and GM aren't here. But hopefully the new guys will be able to bring out something in Willie that everybody's seen. And I think they can. I think he's a good quarterback. But more importantly, Franklin to Ottawa for Cleon Lang and Tristan Jackson.
What are you talking about? You think that's going to happen?
Of course not. Of course not. Ever since I came to Regina, I really enjoy being around you guys because it gives me an opportunity to be excited about the Canadian Football League with people and around people and people listening right now that love our game. And I feel very fortunate to be here. So thank you for letting me rant. I really appreciate it.
No problem, Frank. And you know what? I found out the hard way the last time that I had you on. I need far more time for Franco Stanici. So I got a lot of time for you tonight, pal. But you are being very positive about the Argos, and that's great. But what has led you to believe that Michael Copeland will be a success as president of the Argos? Because as far as I knew, and I do know this, he was the man at the helm of the ticket fiasco for Grey Cup. And I don't believe it ever was fixed, Franco, because I know people who did not get their credits. It was a disaster. And, yeah, he's doing things very unorthodox-like with the Argos. Usually when you're firing somebody, you do it the day after the season ends. Maybe you didn't have to do it that soon, but what have you been doing for 2.5 months?
You're right. You're right. You're right. But you see, I don't disagree with you at all. You've read my Facebook, and you jokingly asked if I've calmed down since then. No, I haven't. Huh. But I'd rather think positively. Yes, he did, you know, you want to really get down to this, we'll get down to it real good. I wrote a letter to Mr. Braley three or four years ago, begging him not to sell the team to MLSC because I thought they didn't know how to win, and they're not the kind of organization that understands burning fans. See, they're an organization, MLSC is an organization that people come to them because they hold the crown jewel, which is the Maple Leafs. Like Saskatchewan, like the Riders are to the CFL, the Maple Leafs are to the NHL. Wherever you go, wherever they go, their fans follow, just like Rider fans. And the money they have, they can throw money at Babcock and Lamoriello, and they can keep some players, and they can sit players, and they can pay players to leave like they've done. The Argos can't do that. MLSC is not wired to make the right decisions when it comes to a CFL team. That's how I really feel. If you really want to know, that's how I feel. And I wrote a letter backing that up to Mr. Braley. John Granger and I, big buddy on the radio, did it on the radio. We argued about this incessantly. He felt that Larry Tannenbaum was the answer to the Argos' prayers. I believe he's a money guy. I believe TSN is a great organization. Thank you. They've done so many good things for us, you know, for the CFL. They brought attention to the CFL that we needed, and they brought money to everybody. But the thing is, to earn fans takes a special kind of knowledge and understanding. And the Argos hired people who don't have a clue about that. But I have faith that they will have learned from their mistake. But you're right. This is really awful. Like in Toronto, what's really awful is that this is the year where you cannot bring the brain trust in. Everybody's locked. And, you know, up until now, you have to ask permission. Come a couple of weeks, a couple of weeks now, you can't even ask. Don't ask, don't tell. You can't do any of that. So you know, here we are with us. So, yeah, you want the negative side? Sure, I see the negative side. I see the cup is half empty now. And the empty part is we don't have there's a brain drain that happened with Barker and Milanovic leaving, and neither of them wanted to be here, okay? Barker made some moves that just said, hey, you can fire me now. I mean, look at what he's done. I mean, are those moves this year? You're right. Are those moves that an experienced CFL manager makes at the time he makes them? You bring in a quarterback, and then, like I said earlier, you get rid of the best receivers you have?
You sell the farm and your future.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, Rod, it's always nice having you listen to me. How about you say something?
No, I brought you on. You're the guest. You're in my house. You make yourself at home. Well, a couple of things that have popped up in my head while you talk. One, did you get a reply from Braley?
No.
Okay, fine. Two, why does he care what MLSE does with his team as long as the check clears?
Right.
You know, you.
I was under the impression that maybe I was just trying to make a point. You know, I wanted to do something.
That's a good one.
I wanted to pee in the wind, right?
That's a very good point. I don't know if Braley would have read it. He's a smart guy. I think he's a good guy. I think he would have read it, Frank. And I'm disappointed he didn't write you back because good CEOs and leaders do. But the Argos weren't his baby. The BC Lions are.
No.
And you knew that.
Yeah, we knew that. We still know that. In fact, I said things on my show that have made me, you know, that have made me see. I'm not TSN. I'm not a partner with the CFL. And everybody else in the media in this town doesn't give a rat's ass. The only person in Sportsnet that gives any kind of care, you have him on your show, Arash Madani. The guy's a former player. He loves the league. And he basically goes the opposite direction of, you know, Sportsnet. The radio guys here make fun of people who are Argo fans. It's not just that they don't promote the game here. I'm talking the Grey Cup, too. They don't, like, they put it down. You know, they make it almost like, what are you, an idiot to be a CFL fan? Well, you know what? I'm not an idiot. I'm a CFL fan. The fact that it's a Canadian league with all the Canadian teams, I love Regina, I love the rest of the cities. That's why I love the CFL. It is our game. It really, really is. And I enjoy what we do.
Well, I admire you for a lot of reasons, Frank, but you haven't given up. I mean, there's a lot of guys that have tried to do what you do across the country in CFL markets, and because, you know, maybe some people weren't paying attention, they gave up. You haven't given up. But our listeners should also know you are a Argo season ticket holder. Does that give you a little cachet in the team's eyes or your listeners' eyes? I mean, you're paying Joe Blow.
Well, actually, you know, to be honest, they really broke my heart when I came to Regina, and I don't mind saying this publicly, and they need to be shamed about this only because I came to Regina and I went down on the field I think you know about this. I went on the field to
do
what
there.
I do. I went to do what I do, you know, interview the players before the game, you know, during practice. And
yeah.
I was told by your guy there in Saskatchewan that the Argos said, I have no accreditation. I have no ability to go down there. And there you even have fans that come down there in Saskatchewan. It broke my heart. It hurt me. You have what you said, you have no real, or maybe you do realize how much I've been willing to put up with as an Argo fan. Put up with a team that's made fun of, a laughing stock. You've got Chris Jones stands in the dressing room when he gets hired with Edmonton, and he calls up. I'm not going to mention names because he calls up one of the players that happened to be in Argo, so you guys would be able to figure out. Says, "What do you think of the training facility in Toronto?" And he pipes up. He says, "What training facility?" You know, that kind of stuff. That kind of stuff doesn't exactly sell the game here in Toronto. Do I blame Copeland? No. I blame more the ownership. I'm a firm believer of, you know, the trickle-down theory, the trickle-down brain thing instead of economics.
Yeah.
the smartest tool in the shed has to be the owner. The owner has to, and it happens in sports all the time. You follow sports all the time. I know you know this as well. Teams develop and become great in every sport when the right owner gets in and he hires the right number one guy that has the keys to the place and he doesn't second guess, you know. Even in Dallas, the owner took a step back and the team got better.
Yeah.
You know.
I talk about it all the time, Frank. Frank, I talk about it all the time. Now, you mentioned about this being our game, the league. Mark Cohan got that. Let me just wind this up with your thoughts on Commissioner Jeffrey L. Orridge and the direction under him.
We're not on the same page. I'm not a big fan. He's not a big fan of me. I've said things that he doesn't like, and I don't care. my name is Candid Frank, and I'm Candid Frank for a reason. I believe the truth shall set you free. And unfortunately, another guy that doesn't know football, this guy, these are decisions that are being made. I don't understand how they make them. The guy not only didn't play pro ball, he never played football. He played basketball. I like the guy. I mean, I like the story that prefaced his arrival. But he just doesn't understand the game. And he's like Bettman. You know, but Bettman had a business that's in far better shape than when he got there, and he's made it a little better with his knowledge, and he's learned it, you know. But he knew the game of hockey. You know, I think Orridge is done. There are rumors that this is his last year. And I won't say good riddance. I'll say I'm sorry because he's a nice guy. He's a human being. We shouldn't insult people or kick people when they're down. But we need a leader of the CFL that understands that Saskatchewan is full of diehard fans that need to vent on their team and to be in love with their team. And the punishment that this guy doles out has to be more consistent. You know, my love of Orridge began to end when he started throwing the referees under the bus. That, to me, was it. You don't do that to your employees. He did that at the beginning, and I really disliked it, and I said so. And I don't think it's right that he did that. You need a guy at the helm who makes people want to work for him. It's like you. If the people on your show that run your show didn't like you, your show would not be near as good as it is. You know, and that's life. That's true to life. You know, we have to work together. And I enjoy working with you and promoting the Argos, and I appreciate the time on your Regina radio station, which, you know, I mean, I'm sure some fans say, why is he having that idiot on? He's an Argo fan.
No, you'd be shocked.
The opportunity.
You'd be shocked at how many people are dialed right in to the Argos situation here. But actually, you probably wouldn't be surprised. But Franco, no, I got to run. We're late for the break, but let's do this
Bye,
again
buddy.
Here. Let's do it again next month.
Anytime.
All right. The great Frank Stenici from the Candid
Frank. Candid Frank Live.
There you go. Candid Frank Live. Franco out in Toronto on the Wheaton Kia Hotline. By the way, the Made for Conquering winter event is on now. 0% financing on select models and $1,000 bonus on all-wheel drives. Sports Cage continues on this Rider Monday next on 620 CKRM.
I take it in, but don't look down.
I'm on top of the world.
It's the home quarter of the Sports Cage, and we only got a couple minutes here. This Rider Monday has been brought to you by Midtown Auto Sales, our good friends over there, the Guy family at the corner of 8th Avenue and Winnipeg Street. 20 years of doing it right. See Jack, Kevin, or David Guy for good deals from the good guys. Talking about the Argos, I'm not surprised anymore how much Rider fans are into the Toronto situation, but it is a mess. Adam from Theodore writes in, he says, the thing is, why fire Barker now? Copeland had 3 months before this. He did, and I wrote about this in my Monday Morning Goalie column today. You know, I first said what other teams do is their business, their own business, not mine. I firmly believe that. They're doing things unorthodox in Toronto, but what I'm starting to realize in life is just because people don't do things the way you think they should be done doesn't mean they're wrong. And not talking my own personal stance, in pro football, that's why they call it Black Monday, in the NFL, the day after the season's over, half the teams that miss the playoffs fire their coach and some even fire their general manager the next day. What have you been doing for 2.5 months? That I don't know, but it's their business. Hutch writes in from the 620. He says, Halifax and Quebec City can support a CFL team. That's what this league needs. And welcome back. What are your thoughts, Captain Sports Cage? That's from Hutch. Oh, man, I talk to these CFL people every day, every single day. And they did enjoy my essay, if you will, on the state of the Argos in Toronto when the Riders came back from there in mid-October. But they all said, yeah, we know, you're right. They are the laughingstock of Toronto. They're the laughingstock of the league. They run on a paper-thin budget. Nobody wants to go there. But we can't have a league without a team in Toronto, so stuff it. I guess. But that's the feeling at the league board of governors table, owners table, and that's not changing. And if you want to talk about expansion to Halifax and Quebec City, well, that's just not going to happen because, as I've been told, these owners, the ones that actually run the league, Bob Wettenhall in Montreal, Bob Young in Hamilton, are two of them. David Braley at one time was the third. I'm not sure he is still as big of a power broker as he was, but I'm told these guys don't want to split the television money by another tenth. That's the biggest reason holding back expansion in the CFL, and they don't want to move the Argos to one of these markets for the reasons I just told you. They feel they need to be in Toronto, which continues to just demolish the brand of the CFL. That's the part that bothers me the most. We do got to run. Just want to say that, next week in Arizona, you still got plenty of time, like 10 days to make your travel plans to head on down for our Ryderville, Arizona tour year three. This is bigger and better than ever. I've personally been working with the Coyotes and the Phoenix Suns on this, as well as Remax Phoenix. I'm not sure what they call themselves. It's like Phoenix of the Valley or something. But anyways, next Thursday, a week from this Thursday, February 9th, we'll be broadcasting live from the Whiskey Rose. You've heard many of our shows out of there. It's right next door to Salt, Taco, and Tequila. Last year, 1,200 Rider fans. There's no reason to expect there won't be 3,000 to 4,000 this year. I'm not even joking. That's Thursday, Sports Cage Live. Carm will be there. Naaman Roosevelt will be there. A couple of the Arizona Cardinals, I've been promised, we'll be there. That'll be exciting. Line that up with our friends down there. And then the Coyotes and the Canadians on that Thursday night. And then on Friday, February 10th, at a bar called The Draft in Mesa, Arizona, a Rider party from noon to 3. Again, that's next Friday, February 10th. George Reed will be the featured celebrity. Rider alumni will be there. I'll be there noon to 3 next Friday. And then Friday night, February 10th, the Chicago Bulls at the Phoenix Suns. The Suns have blocked off sections for Rider fans. So it's now a two-day event, which was the vision of Gary Drummond and mine way back when we cooked this thing up 3 years ago. The links for tickets and all the info are at rodpeterson.com in my Monday morning goalie column, 0.9. And also the Facebook page, Rider Fans in Arizona, has all of these details. It's just going to be fantastic. But we got a full week of shows coming up right here on this station, beginning tomorrow with some very special guests from the Pats, Sandy Annunziata, former Argos great, now of TSN 1050 to delve more into this situation, Michelle Englott, the Manitoba rep for the Scotties, and a whole lot more. Nevin at Night coming up next. You don't want to miss that. We've been brought to you by Midtown Auto Sales on 620 CKRM.